All right, good morning. I would call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, November 1st, 2016, and ask if everyone please join the Board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. As always, first item on the agenda is public comment. Number one, it's an opportunity for members of the public to address topics on today's agenda. Anybody wishing to do so, please come to the microphone now. Seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll move on to consideration of minutes. And this is both the September 30th appointment minutes and the minutes from our regular meeting on October 25th.
Move to adopt.
And I'll second. Is there any corrections, additions, or notations?
None.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Minutes passed. Personnel actions as listed, Martin.
Consider to accept as proposed.
Second. Any discussion?
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Personnel actions passed. Claims.
Move to consider claims.
And I'll second. Chief.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Claims passed. Consent agenda. Please add road closure 1722 and 1723 and utility permit 17-036.
Move to accept consent agenda with above noted changes or additions.
And I'll second. Chief.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Consent agenda passes. No public hearing items. Additional items. Consideration of resolution 1735, amending FY17 appropriations. Old Martin, always wants money.
Morning, Mrs. Martin.
Good morning.
Lisa, how are you holding up with the election?
Oh, it's just really fun. sarcastically. No, we're doing fine. This is usually fast,
right? It always does.
7 days from now.
7 days from
That's
now.
That's right.
What I have in front of you is what I threatened to bring in front of you last week or 2 weeks ago, and I said I was going to amend the appropriations. At the beginning of the fiscal year, in order to start spending money, we did 50% appropriation for all the departments, with a few exceptions. Countywide and General County Bedmont, we went ahead and did 100% right off the bat. At this point in time, I have before you an appropriations amendment that adds an additional 45% to the departments and elected officials. I did 45% across the board for an additional appropriation. The other 5% can be appropriated at any point in time. Mm-hmm.
Questions?
None.
Anything else to add? Let's see. This is not a public hearing. I'd ask, anybody want to address Resolution 1735? All right, board, action.
I would move to adopt 1735 amending our FY17 appropriations.
And I'll second. Discussion. Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Resolution 1735 passes.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Back to work.
I got to go back. Sorry.
Morning, Jack.
Next item is discussion and consideration of firearm signal separation. Cal, how was the fishing?
Windy, but fishing was excellent.
How cold was it? So Cal goes up to Canada every year about this time. And
mid-30s. It was snow on the day I left. I left a little early because the wind wouldn't settle down. But excellent. Big northern fishing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Big.
Yeah.
20 pounds up.
Yeah.
Well, my son always comes back with pictures and stories, too. That's part. I'm not a fisherman. My son is, so.
All right, we're talking about firearms.
Okay, years ago, the prior fire chief insisted on having the Justice Center on one signal alarm at the Justice Center. That means that anything goes off anywhere in the building, the whole building alarms. The buildings themselves were built with firewalls. So there's three... Actually, there could be seven different separate buildings out there separated by firewalls. What I asked the present fire chief, I mentioned to him the problem with these sprinkler heads getting knocked off in the jail, which causes disruption through the whole building. There's a serious trial going on. Well, all trials are serious. They have to evacuate the building wherever they're at.
So I mentioned this to him, and I asked him, can we separate this back? And he says, absolutely. So I got verbal and written approval from the current fire chief here in Nevada to do the separation so that we can eliminate these problems that are happening. The price tag was a little more than I thought it was going to be. That's why I'm here today. I felt it was important that we move on this as soon as possible, but I wanted the board to be aware and make the decision if we could do it now or if you want me to wait till budget time to work on this. Just in the paperwork I did send with, there was three in September alone.
Right.
Two by one individual and one by another one. So I was hoping the jail administrator would be here today to elaborate on this has been an ongoing problem for years that we've seen. So.
Right, and we're not going to take care of that problem by doing this, but what we're going to take care of is the disruption to the rest of the building every time one of these happens.
Exactly.
So we got an inmate that's kicking off sprinkler heads, right?
Yes, and we've also, they've come out with a new, more vandal-resistant fire sprinkler head that is much harder for them to
vandalize.
In hopes that they would see them on the camera in time to get in and stop it before it happens. But you know, not only that people evacuating all the time and then saying, "Well, is this a fire? Is it just a drill? What's going on?" But also, you know, remember last year I spent a lot of money on putting magnets up. Well, every time these go off, those doors close. Now we're finding even the doors with magnets, they're propping them open with the chocks again. So the magnets.
Yeah, we don't want people desensitized to the alarm. When the alarm goes off, the first thought shouldn't be, oh, somebody kicked off a sprinkler head again.
So there's a little bit of equipment hardware that needs to be added. We may need to run a few cables, but the majority of it is proprietary programming of Simplex fire alarm system to accomplish this. So, you know, it's $7,000, which is above the $5,000.
And how's your budget looking so far in this year?
Extremely tight. That's my concern.
So we need, on approval of this, we need to consider adding $7,000 or thereabouts later in the year when you start to get close.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. So, Marty, normally the way the board has operated is when we have a request like this, first thing we do is look to see if we can do it out of currently budgeted dollars. Cal's been phenomenal at that through the years. In fact, I don't remember a time in the last 3 or 4 years that we've had to add money into your budget at the end of the year. You've been absorbing the unforeseen things in what we budgeted. He's given us a heads up that may not be the case this time. And so if we approve this, in my mind, we would also be approving the reality that we may have to go find $7,000 at the end of the year in additional dollars to put into facilities.
Absolutely.
Okay. Questions for Cal?
So is this going to help by doing it to break it out to what parts of the building the actual alarm goes off, and is that going to give any notice to the Nevada Fire Department at all, or is that just tell us where it's at?
Well, at this building, we aren't hooked up to Simplex monitoring system. It rings into master control. Master control then can make the decision whether the fire department needs to be called,
okay,
or if it's an actual fire, if other areas need to be evacuated. So that's the way this system works out there. So we have staff there 24/7. They monitor the fire alarm.
Okay.
So now walk me through procedurally. If a sprinkler head gets damaged in the jail, if we make these changes, what alarms will go off?
In the jail only.
Okay.
Sheriff only, if there's a problem in the sheriff's office. Court side only, if there's a problem over there.
Okay. So
it's like it's three independent.
We're separated buildings out into three separate areas instead of one.
Okay.
Fine.
Okay.
Glad to see you get a fire chief who wants to work with you.
Absolutely. He's been very, very helpful in many things since we've gotten him on board, and glad to have him.
Good. So if you're okay with it, Marty, I would like a motion
to approve. Yep.
Motion to approve.
I would move to approve the $7,000 for the
Tyco, Simplex, Grinnell fire system at the Justice Center for $7,000.
And I'll second it, and I want to just make the note that this board fully recognizes that that $7,000 may not be able to be absorbed in the existing budget. This may entail an addition of $7,000 to facilities budget this year.
That's fine.
Anything further?
No questions, I think council will do it pretty well.
Okay, Chitty.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. It passes. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, buddy.
We're glad you're back.
Yeah, me too.
Liar.
Morning, Leanne. Thank you for coming in today.
What if I wanted to skip this next item and go to something? Okay. Discussion and consideration of proposed amendments to the Story County Economic Development Group's bylaws and program guidelines. We also have the chair of that group here today. Jennifer, how about if you come on up as well?
Morning, Jennifer.
Good meeting last week. All right, so I'm going to give a 20-second history of what happened here. Ongoing conversation. This group was established in the late 80s, early 90s. It's been a great group for Story County, but its mission and focus has clearly changed over the last few years. The group has been talking internally for several years about the possibility of updating their organizational documents to reflect the realities of how they're operating. A year ago, as part of the budget process, this group asked for the Story County Board of Supervisors to increase funding from, I think it's $100,000 to $125,000, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. And that request was turned down at that point, and one of the main reasons given was we want your organizational documents to be updated prior to any increases or changes in the funding. So the group's been working hard on that, and here's where we are.
I think I'm going to start with the bylaws.
Okay.
And just highlight for the board and the members of the audience what the proposed changes are and rationale for the changes. Jennifer, you can kick in whenever you want and just ask questions as we go to. Starting with the purpose statement, section 1.02. Clarifying some annual reports are necessary, so annual budgeting, and then referencing the program guidelines, and that is beneficial because then not only do the program guidelines have the types of projects that are allowed through the pool funds, the project funds. I have to get the language right now because we've changed terms too. And that's a good connection between the two documents. And then going on to the next page under membership, referencing the appointed representative form, Jennifer has gone ahead and drafted one that each of the communities will use to actually assign who that appointed representative is, and that would be done by January 1st each year, really to formalize the structure of the executive committee and the membership of the Story County Economic Development Group.
And to this point, it's been really whoever attends from any of the communities has been deemed to be part of this group. Okay.
And then at the end of that section, adding two new ex officio members. That would be a member of the Conservation Board and a member of Planning and Zoning Commission. Mm-hmm. Really, those two entities are dealing with activities that are in the economic development realm, and they're non-voting members. I think they bring a good insight and bring that communication back to their respective boards. And then section 1.04, fiscal year, clarifying, just like other governmental entities, this operates on a fiscal year of July 1st to June 30th. Article 2, sections 2.01 and 2.02 really set up where the principal office is. Obviously, if Jennifer is the chair, the mailing address could be different every 2 years, but the principal offices reference this building. And the website would be Story County's official website, which we all know is storycountyiowa.gov. Under section Article 3, officers, setting forth the elections of the principal office, that they're on an even calendar year, so every 2 years, and actually, last week the meeting was?
Yes.
Lost track of time. Last week, we're in an even year, and so the election did occur last week, and the terms are for 2 years. on a July 1st to June 30th basis, again matching the fiscal year. The secretary position was removed out of the bylaws, and I'll get back to that with reference to section 4.06. There's some technical assistance that Troy County can provide, but wasn't necessary to be redundant, have that in the bylaws. Article 4 adds language to make sure that it's recognized the meetings are public meetings, subject to the requirements of Chapter 21 of the Code of Iowa, and that notice of that meeting is put in accordance with that section and other requirements we have. With that, I would assume that direction would be given to staff, likely me, to make sure that I'm the one posting notices on the website and the bulletin board, notably the official bulletin board. And then section 4.06, like I just mentioned, the secretary position was removed, but the minutes section was added to make sure that it's identified that the minutes could be taken by the Story County administrative staff, whether that's myself or Drew or whomever is in position like Drew's. And then we would bring those forward for approval by the Board of Supervisors. Under Article 5, voting and rules of order, the presumption of assent was added in section 5.03. I'm going to stop right here. I failed to say something. What was very interesting as we delved into this, not one of us had a complete copy of the bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
So there are some additions that are new, what we deem to be new. We just don't know if they were there or not. So they may not be new. So I should have said that to begin with. Conflict of interest was added to Article 6, so that would be standard language in the bylaws. Article 8 talks about staff assistance, again going back to the ability of the board to identify myself or someone else to provide technical assistance. And then under Article 9, the last page, just clarifying how the board considers amendments. And then how that's communicated back to the Strike Economic Development Group. And then lastly, where the original documents are stored so that we don't run into situations like we did. And you'll note that these will be reported to upon approval. So we know that we'll all these be available in the reporter's office. Any questions from the bylaws?
Jennifer, this is for you more than Leanne. Do you feel like that this is now an adequate representation of not only the way the group is currently functioning, but our hopes and expectations for the way the group will function in the future?
It is, absolutely. And the group went through it with a pretty much a fine-tooth comb, sometimes changing words very minorly to make sure that it was had an overall spectrum of what we're doing and how we're going about it. All of our activities.
Good. Yeah, I mean, it looks to me, so I was frustrated by our lack of formality in that group through the years. We couldn't put our hands on a complete copy of the original bylaws. The group was functioning, but there wasn't a real good mechanism to tell us how the group was supposed to be functioning. I'm really appreciative of what you went through. I went through these pretty closely, and it looks to me like exactly what we're hoping for this group. So thank you. Questions, comments?
Not having looked at what you previously had, just going through these like you did, I guess I see everything here that gives me comfort in saying this is what you would expect that a group operating this man would have to provide. So I see no glaring omissions or any gaps.
I have a couple comments on the guidelines that I just want to address with you real quick. As I stumbled at the beginning, the pool, we've gone ahead and really clarified the two, where the $100,000 is, how it's divvied up and distributed. The annual allocation is what goes per capita to the communities. That gets determined based on per capita.
But only for communities that participate in this group.
Yeah, for eligible communities. And the eligibility criteria is set up in the guidelines then, too. What is the second funding mechanism then is the project funds, and that really is what was confusing people because they're called pool funds. You normally think of pool funds as the ones that were the annual allocation. Those are set up now that it's a maximum of 15% of whatever the total funds are allotted annually by the board, so in this particular up to $15,000 can go towards those project funds. there's a lot of discussion as to the eligibility criteria and the types of projects. I think everyone's on the same board now and the types of projects that the expectation is can be submitted and ultimately approved through that. There is set up now in the guidelines of a procedure, though, for the chair to communicate the allocation to the auditor's office and then ultimately receive funding through the board of supervisors for both the annual allocations and then the project funds. And that was a little bit, that was an area where I'm appreciative of having additional guidance and information so that we were on the same page for the procedure.
And this used to, the appropriation of the funds used to be on a, what everybody assumed was a reimbursement process. We've shifted it so it's more at the beginning of the fiscal year instead of the end to hopefully help the county for funding and if there happens to be any rollover from this group, it would be cleared up earlier in the fiscal year versus towards the end.
We had one year where we didn't get stuff turned in on time, and so it caused it to carry over to a new fiscal year, and that just creates all kinds of issues. So I'm appreciative that, you know, having everything in by June 15th every year gives us enough time to deal with it. So any questions or thoughts, Wayne?
The only question, I'm sorry being a little late, but got the wife home okay, good. So things are looking great. Were there major, when you said you were having discussions about the allocations and the kinds of projects that we have approved in the past, were there some areas that the group felt that they'd like to see included and maybe that weren't looked at? You know, I'm thinking of the $100,000 that we're talking about, not some of the other special projects where they don't. I think the fact that was looking at it again was the structure seemed to be somewhat loosely defined and laid out, and we were looking for a little bit more uniformity and consistency so that as we went from year to year, it made the application that much easier to identify. But did you see, were there some areas that they talked about that they'd like to see included that are the categories broad enough to cover many of those projects?
They did for like the project funds, they did expand from four identified areas where that would qualify to several.
But added in an extra step before those 12. Funds can be released. Right, so there, when there were questions, it was always a little nebulous in my mind what was eligible and what wasn't eligible.
Okay.
This, to me, looks like it opens up more eligibility, sends it through that group first, but then it has to come to the Board of Supervisors prior to awarding those project funds. So you got two components, right? You got the per capita funds, which is just a division based on number of people to the communities that are part of the group. Then the second one is project funds, which currently is about $15,000. And now I think it opens up these communities to be really kind of aggressive with what kind of projects they bring forward, but it requires then a presentation to the Board of Supervisors, which is a new step that we have not had before.
Right. Okay.
I know there was one particular item that they discussed that they, which is whether funding can go towards staff and administrative costs. That they allow, they're allowing on the in the annual allocation, but they're not allowing in the project funds.
Project funds will be things like brochures and welcome signs and specific one-off projects, not ongoing costs.
Correct.
Okay.
Other questions, comments?
No, or passion. Jennifer ran a very good meeting last week. I think you had a lot of buy-in, and I look forward to seeing what the takeaways from that, because I think a lot was offered up. So, well done, well run.
Thank you.
That time well spent.
If there's nothing further, I would sure entertain a motion to approve the proposed amendments to the bylaws.
Okay, move to adopt the proposed amendments as placed before us today for the Economic Development Group.
I will second that motion.
Further discussion?
None.
Chief?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes. Thank you guys very much for your work.
Thank you.
No agency reports today. Departmental reports. We do have Margaret James, Environmental Health. Hi, Margaret.
Good morning, everybody. I'm glad you made it, Wayne. You always have some good questions for me.
I'm a whole into this healthy stuff.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
Let me get my presentation up here. My froggy throat. Okay. Margaret James, Environmental Health. Okay, I'll start off talking about septics. Let's see. So we're not going to be 2015, it doesn't look like. So far we've had 70 new septic applications, 68 installed. Let's see, what else can I say? Repairs, there's actually a few more than that. The picture up top, that's one of the more recent technologies. It's a peat filter. Now they're switching over to cocoa filter. And the hard-to-develop or replacement systems go that route. This is a request that I have never gotten before. One of the pumpers asked me to come out and help assess the land that he's considering buying for septic land application. Okay?
Sure.
And I love that. I love that he's thinking about, you know, the environmental stuff. So I work with Leanne on coming up. So she helped me with the floodplain interpretation, and then as you can see in the left photo there, the floodway, there's no way that they can land apply in the floodway there. However, in the blue area, where it does flood frequently, I'll say that, or gets very wet, there are no restrictions, and so he could have land applied there. That's not good. And so Leanne plans next year to maybe address some of those issues as the floodplain manager. I went out and did the soils, and slopes, it's almost like a kitchen table out there, as flat as can be. That's excellent. You want things that are flat when you're applying sewage. Distance from development, this is the attractive thing about this piece of land because it's straight south of the Hallett Quarry and away from any houses in that, and so less complaints, so that's excellent. But the soils, they were true to the mapping. There's Zook and Coland and Spillville. Spillville sounds like they're suspicious. They were all very high clay content and high water table. So I recommended he not purchase this land based on soils because I would not allow them to land apply. So now he's looking at other sites, possibly around Nevada Divide. So for wells, we've done 6 total wells, 2 water and 4 geothermal. We've done 13 well plugins, 2 rehabs, lots of sampling going on, 61. We're going to wait on the arsenic testing toward a little bit later in the fiscal year because we want to spend it on plugging more than arsenic testing. So if we have money at the end of the year, we'll focus on arsenic more. And time of transfer inspections, 18. Those are just the well ones. Grants to counties, then I was just talking about, we received $26,000. We've spent $14,000. We're right on track. That's good because this is the first year that IDPH is going to redistribute some of that spare money. So they're not going to take any of ours away. We might even get a little bit more this year. Pool, tattoo, and tanning are that's one contract that those three items come under. 45 pool facilities, 1 notice of violation and citation issued, and that's been squared away so far. And 1 new pool, we get the opportunity to meet with the state engineer that works strictly on pools. For that new pool, he comes down and inspects it, and we tag along. And we learn so much from that, and our inspections get better and better from learning from him. New pools are so much easier to inspect because they're not cobbled all together. The old ones, it's just like an octopus when you go in the operations room. So it's good. Let's see, 7 tattoo facilities, nothing going on with that, and 19 tanning facilities, and we administered 1 written exam.
That feels like that's up. Is that up? Tanning?
Tanning. Up?
Yeah. Are there more tanning facilities today?
That's pretty static. Okay. I think we might have added 1.
Yeah, it felt like it was higher. Okay.
Enforcement. One, overdue time of transfer, binding agreement, no big deal. Installation redo, that was a big deal. That was a big deal. He didn't follow the permit requirements, and so I had to go out and meet with him and it was ugly, but we got it done. So he might not be interested in working in Story County much anymore.
If he wants to do it right, then we'd love to have him in Story County.
That's right. Welcome. He is certified. Six outstanding notice of violations. So Crestview, I'll just mention what's going on with that. They still haven't gotten their paperwork into DNR declaring that they're not a public system. Dragging his feet. He did move one more trailer into the loop. So he's moving forward on getting that project done.
So Marty's on the Board of Health now, but when I was, it seems like December 1st was his drop dead date, right? So we're 1 month away, and it sounds like he's got a lot of stuff that he has not done.
A lot has to happen between now and then, yep. Okay. But he is working in that direction, I will say that.
Okay.
Lincoln Cedar Septic, they still haven't got no septic in. Let's see, what else? And then complaints, and Marty, we talked about this at the Board of Health. There's a nuisance building in Nevada owned by the church, and this week is their deadline, so I'll need to talk to the priest there and see what they've come up with to answer those problems. Okay. Trainings and meetings, I won't bore you with reading all these, but we are required to know a lot of oddball things, so we have to and retain certification, so we go to a lot of oddball classes in that. It's fun. It keeps things interesting. I'm on the board of the state septic board. I'll tell you what, that's a lot of work. The planning, you know, the conference planning, this and that. I've never done that before. It's a lot of work.
Well, thank you for doing it. It's important.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Ms. Delaney, Dakota Access Pipeline, we have had no calls, no issues that I know of as far as environmental health goes. Chris, I already talked about that. Site review for bed and breakfast conducted. We did come up with a decent septic system option for them, so they're going forward with that. We've had the new sanitarian for Hardin County coming down. We're training her. I think she's a good match for that county. Strategic plan update for water quality. I work with Leanne on that. United Day of Caring, three of us participated in that from our department.
Thank you.
Iron Bridge subdivision plan review. So we're working on that subdivision with planning and zoning development. Just working on them, getting the septic squared away with the engineer. And then this is an interesting thing. This just happened yesterday. We did the CUP review for Hickory Grove Park. They're adding that shower house. So we just want to make sure that lagoon was doing what it needed to do. So Mike and I and two of his guys, Bo and Russ, went out there to try to figure out if the effluent is going from the shower room and making it down. So we put dye in it, and you don't get more fun than putting dye in water and following it. That's just a lot of fun. So so we lifted up manholes and slowly went there, and then it wasn't showing up in the lagoon, and we were like, you know. So after doing a lot of things and digging around this and that, the two guys got in the canoe and pushed the duckweed away, and there was the duck.
It was. Okay. It was.
So, yay. So the one thing I did see is the fence really needs to be repaired down there, because that is a definite requirement of the state DNR to have, you know, for safety reasons and then proper sanitation.
So, Barbara, you may not know this, and Wayne, this question may be for you, and maybe it's more a Mike Cox question, but at one point we were working with Central Iowa Rural Water to end up attaching to Colo's lagoons.
I think
where does that stand?
It's interesting you mentioned this, because that was going to be my question, because I was at the Conservation Special Board meeting last night, and so there was a little update on the Grove Sewer Project. And I would have to say that Mike Cox said, this whole idea of learning about dye and all of that, he said it was quite an education.
Oh, okay.
Thank for him. But he did say that the issue with Colo itself, and it seems to be tied in with some Oklahoma park there, and what may or may not happen with that. They are going to hopefully have some ongoing communication regarding that. I probably shouldn't comment too far with that because we've not set up a meeting with COLA yet regarding is there a wiggle room, is there a way that we can revisit. The concept was possibly even a partnership type of an arrangement rather than just as a user or so forth. So there's going to be a little bit more with that. But I think the whole fact that the interagency review team and with the maybe permitting process, some steps that they didn't anticipate. And so it's kind of slowed the project down just a little bit, but I think in the end they feel very good about the direction that this is going to go, and I certainly want to thank you for working directly with Mike and his staff in this area, because we want to do it right.
Sure. Medium term, our lagoon is not acceptable.
Right.
We either need to go in and do something with a new lagoon or repair that one, or we need to tie in with COLA. But Margaret, my takeaway here is that all said and done, once two brave people got in a canoe and pushed out into the middle of this thing, we're good that the new shower building is in fact delivering to the lagoon as we expect.
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. It might be a leaky lagoon, and that's why conservation is looking into replacement. The plan on the board now is the trailer park north and the county combine efforts to put in new lagoons off county property.
Okay.
And having Central Iowa manage that for us. And Central Iowa, according to Mike, they are waiting on engineering plans.
Right.
And that's the holdup
right
now. Right. Good. Good. Thank you.
Great. And happy fall.
It is definitely fall.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anything for Mark?
The first slide I thought was pretty good, and Wayne could probably chuckle about this too, because everybody wants to talk about bridges. I want to talk about septic systems. Can you put that first slide back up, please?
Maybe.
I guess conceptually,
yep.
On a county basis, on a water quality basis, you know, we can tell you what we got. You're the big guy, numbers guy. We've got 280 some bridges.
Yeah, 282.
Okay. As we see, can you enlarge that for me, please?
yeah, I can. Let me think here.
Slideshow.
Slideshow, yeah, slideshow. And from the beginning, no.
Well, yeah, then just hit one.
Slide.
Yeah. All right,
got it.
There we go. Is that... At this point in time, is 70 new septic system permits? I mean, what are we doing on a yearly basis? I mean, on the county, I mean, how many that reflects systems out in the county, correct? A septic system, I guess I'm looking for...
That reflects replacement systems,
mm-hmm.
Total replacement systems, not repairs.
And then new.
And or new.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
that's
not a ton.
I mean, it keeps you busy.
Well, we had a count on our bridges. We had a count on our septic systems in the county. You know, would you hazard a guess?
Oh, 3,000?
Really?
Something like that? Does that sound about right?
I would have said somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000.
Yeah, but I can, you know.
Well, it's just one of those numbers, as you see, you know, Mike spoke to it this summer when he was talking about water clarity and water quality at Hickory Grove, how just the 9 new septic systems there made a difference, in addition to some shore armoring and whatnot. It's just like, this is obviously going to be making a difference if you're putting in new and current and coded
mm-hmm.
systems, and if you're doing, I would have to say we're going in the right direction. Is this a number that would reflect what we would see year over? I mean, any year this would be about at that point?
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, we were up a little last year over this year, but that two factors there, the Hickory Grove work that we did, which we funded
yes,
a lot of
uh-huh.
that,
and Cameron Estates.
And two Cameron Estates.
Yeah.
Now this year, so tell me how we count what the Irons is doing. So the Irons
that's not counted yet.
Not counted yet, but will it count as septic systems even though those are shared systems?
Oh yeah.
That's
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, shared systems?
Well, different kind of system than we're used to.
No, each one will have to get a permit, so that will count.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't actually view us as down. I mean, you look at where we were, what we've been in the 60s the last several years, and we bumped up to 80-something 15, is that right? But am I reading the numbers right? Or am I
I'm looking at those and thinking, why do we have 282s and 266s? Those old numbers are suspect, and that's our software that's, I think, pulling numbers from the wrong fields. When we had the new computer stuff, things went pretty haywire with our calculating. So don't look at those.
Yeah.
But I think it was around 80, but we're not as high as last year.
And remind me the action this board took with time to transfer now that's due for Story County. It started a couple years ago.
Time of transfer, well, we used to have an inspection program, the county, and the state passed that, and just like the CAFOs, you can't touch that.
Okay.
So our program actually went backwards.
But it went way backwards to start with.
Yeah. Because there's that whole list of exemptions.
Right.
The consanguinity, the divorce, the bankruptcy, so the banks don't have to put anything in. So all of those where we used to inspect them and require replacement, they don't. So so we're still back compared to how our program used to run.
Right.
But statewide it's better because there's so many counties that didn't have any inspection program. So statewide, we're all better off. Countywide, no.
Good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions for Margaret?
No.
Margaret, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
No other report. Public forum number two, opportunity for members of the public to address items not on today's agenda. Board may not take any action due to the requirements of the open meetings law, but we might do so in the future. Anyone wishing to address the board on any topic? Seeing no one moving the microphone, liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Wayne?
Nothing on liaison, and just that Conservation Board last night did meet to discuss the money that was received from the pipeline that was approved last week that went into the general fund, and a resolution will be coming forth next week. Good discussion. Felt very good about where we were in that process. Then there was considerable discussion about the I-Will project and the 3/8 cents and the legislation that is currently there. I gave them just a quick update that at the ISAC Board of Directors meeting that I attended last Thursday and Friday, representatives, the lobbyists from the Iowa League of Cities, as well as the executive director came and presented to us. And what was interesting is that the League of Cities is going to be proposing perhaps a change in the distribution formula, which would give cities a little bit more of a piece of the pie. I get the impression that ISAC and counties are not willing to jump on board. One of the discussions, and Margaret, I don't know, when we're talking about water quality, as of course you all know, water quality is the buzzword right now. And so some of the 3/8 cents was attempted to be tied to the water quality issue. However, if you look at the legislation that was passed, they clearly define where those dollars would go and what type of projects. And counties believe that that's what the legislature should basically do. So what the League of Cities is saying that they might be interested in, if they wanted to change that to a 1 cent rather than 3/8 cents, and then the additional dollars could go for the water quality initiatives, at least they would be supported. So trying to get the Farm Bureau and online with the support of that activity, I think, is going to be problematic. The issue for counties is that once you start talking about changing the distribution formula, that opens up a whole different can of worms, and the likelihood of getting consensus in that area may mean that the 3/8 cents funding for other conservation approved projects could be hampered. So that's something that ISAC is going to be watching very closely. I think everybody is convinced that water quality is going to be a topic that the legislature is going to be addressing this year. The key is where the funding is going to come from. whether the government's proposal that talked about some of those dollars from education over a period of time would be utilized or what have you. So I think we need to be in tune with that. Along with Matt Cosgrove, who is the conservation director that's on the ISAC board, feel that the supervisors are going to want to work closely with our conservation board statewide to make sure that we have a common message, that we need to be on the same page when we communicate with our legislators about this 3/8 cent and how what projects should be there. And I think that's something that is basically going to be another factor. And then, so besides the I will, the other, only other thing to basically report from that meeting is that there will be some ongoing discussions with some of the language change that will be presented to the General Assembly in terms of some of the guidelines of how we operate as a board and as an entity. But I think that the legislative objectives, as maybe you sat in on last week, the group, pretty much are the same. The board pretty much approved those with just a few minor word changing in one particular category, just to make it a little bit clearer and give direction to our lobbyists where the counties were basically going to go. But that's still got to be ratified by the full membership in the fall, at fall school. So all in all, it was an excellent meeting, and I think we came out of that clearly with an attitude of county supervisors, ISAC board, and one of the questions deal with when do you vote in support of something, or do you take a position of undecided? The minimum wage is one of those topics that came up. I don't know exactly where the ISAC board is going to come down on. Currently, right now, they are advocating for the state to take this up on a unified basis. So they're supportive of the study and moving toward that, but I don't think they're going to take a position as to saying what the increment should be. At any given point at this time, they're going to want to study and wait and see how this is all going to flush out, and then before a decision is made, they will reach out to supervisors across the state to get their input in terms of should we switch from an undecided to a support or what have you. 9 times out of 10, when it's controversial, it's usually an undecided vote is what the lobbyists basically do during that entity. But this will certainly be something that I'm sure the supervisor candidates are interested in. That minimum wage is going to be a popular discussion at the State House this year. Where it's going to go, we don't know. But I think that most of the people are somewhere in agreement is they don't want to see all the counties all having a different wage. If at all possible. So that's going to be of interest to us as we see down the road. So that's all I'm going to do at this time. We will be having another meeting late November, right before the fall of school, and that will give a little bit more direction to us.
Yeah, so if the League of Cities want to ensure that IWIL does not get funded this year, then they should come ahead with their proposal. But that just seems like a good way to me when you got something that already passed with a substantial margin from the voters of Iowa, and then you want to go in and tinker with it. It just seems like a good way to give those opponents of it a way to keep anything from happening. So thanks for representing us on that stuff. Marty.
Had a pretty successful economic development group meeting in Maxwell last week. I think it was a free-flowing exchange of conceptuals and solicitations and pretty good ideas. You have peer communities and their representatives sitting down together, and I think that they found some common ground to see some tangibles going forward. Let's see what comes from that. Surrey County Rec Center group, I believe, is, if not at that point, are going to be moving to adopt the siting plan of a potential rec facility in Nevada on the hospital grounds. The hospital has said that would be the rationale behind them supporting its existence, and I think that there are some announcements along those lines will be coming forward, so stay tuned on that one.
Good. Healthy Life Center meeting tonight. Let's see, you've got a forum that you're going to when you're going to be with me representing the county at that Healthy Life Center meeting. That thing is fascinating.
I do have one other thing before you go.
Yeah, well, I'm going to announcements next, and now it's your turn.
Okay, tomorrow, a special meeting of the CERPA, which we call ourselves the sub-allocation committee, is going to be. And the purpose of this meeting is that the DOT has come about with some possible changes to the sub-allocation procedure, and it's primarily funding that will impact a lot of the smaller cities to, in my opinion, be the detriment of counties. And again, this is another example where we've had standing practice of the formula that has worked well for a number of years, but then the DOT wants to focus more on a regional scope. And even though CERPA is within our particular region, but I think this would broaden it more statewide and not necessarily in our particular region.
So I've been asked to serve on that committee. Dean Yardy, that's on our mental health governance board, is also representing county supervisors in that area, and we'll have a couple other people. And I don't know if, Drew, you've ever heard anything at all. Did you leave already?
Yeah, probably did.
Okay. Regarding this particular meeting, but I think it's going to be, right now my position is don't change the formula. Keep things as is, because it's in the best interest of counties not to change that formula, because HRDA, for example, have come to us. We've carved out some dollars where there has been a need, and other small communities, the CERPA allocation group, where there have been additional funding, have really tried to address some of the needs of the other counties. So it'll be, I don't think we'll get a final decision made, but we're going to hear the DOT's proposal. I think we're going to then, as a committee, have to take that back to the full board before we actually approve which direction we're going to take. So that's going to happen at 9 o'clock tomorrow at the DOT off at the CERP office in Des Moines. So I'll be representing that sub-allocation committee tomorrow.
Super. Thanks, Wayne. Any announcements?
No announcements.
All right. 7 days from today, everybody, if you haven't voted already, which many, many have, be sure you get out and vote at some point in the next 7 days and, 10 hours. If there's nothing further, I take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.